Welcome to day 262 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we are going to read the second shortest book in the Old Testament, the book of Haggai, which consists of only two chapters, and it is second runner-up to Obadiah, which was the shortest book in the Old Testament, which consisted of only one chapter, you may recall. Haggai was a prophet who prophesied during the time when the Jews had returned out of exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem from the order of Cyrus the Persian, who had allowed any person of Israelite descent who wanted to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple, freedom to go back, and also financial assistance in the rebuilding of the temple. And you may recall from yesterday's reading in the book of Ezra that the Israelites had started the process of rebuilding. They had actually completed the foundation of the temple, but then they ran into some discouragement and some opposition from enemies who did not want them to rebuild the temple, and the work had actually ceased for a time. And in fact, it had been almost 16 years since they had been working on the temple. The work had totally stopped for a period of approximately 15, 16 years, according to scholars, when Haggai came along and gave them a serious word to encourage them to start the work again. Yesterday, I talked about the importance of encouragement to assist somebody to continue in doing a good work when they've become discouraged. Haggai certainly provides some encouragement to the people that does get them to begin again. But like a good prophet, not only does he encourage, he also rebuke them. And you'll hear some words of rebuke as well as words of encouragement as we read these two chapters from the book of Haggai. Probably one interesting detail about Haggai is this, that most likely Haggai was an elderly man who had actually seen the original Temple of Solomon. And so he's the elder statesman in this group, because you'll also hear in the next day or two about Zechariah, who was his junior, a young prophet, who also prophesied at the same time as Haggai to encourage them to continue the work of rebuilding the temple. So we're going to begin our reading at Haggai chapter 1, starting at verse 1 in the Amplified Translation. In the second year of Darius, king of Persia, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet in Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time is not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt," although Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. Go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord, by accepting it as done for my glory and by displaying my glory in it. You looked for much harvest, and behold, it came to little, And even when you brought that home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house, eager to build and adorn it. Therefore, the heavens above you for your sake withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its produce. And I have called for a drought upon the land and the hill country, upon the grain, the fresh wine, the oil, upon what the ground brings forth, upon men and cattle, upon all the wearisome toil of men's hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people who had returned from captivity, listened to and obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, not vaguely or partly, but completely, according to the words of Haggai the prophet, since the Lord their God had sent him, and the people reverently feared and worshipfully turned to the Lord. Then Haggai the Lord's messenger spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord aroused the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, so that they came and labored on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. Chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, in the second year of Darius, king of Persia, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remainder of the people, saying, Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is not this in your sight as nothing in comparison to that? Yet, now be strong, alert, and courageous, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, alert, and courageous, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, alert, and courageous, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the promise that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit stands and abides in the midst of you. Fear not. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake and make tremble the starry heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire and the precious things of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house, with its successor, to which Jesus came, shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace and prosperity, says the Lord of hosts. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus says the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests to decide this question of law. If one carries in the skirt of his garment flesh that is holy, because it has been offered in sacrifice to God, and with his skirt or the flaps of his garment he touches bread or pottage or wine or oil or any kind of food, does what he touches become holy, dedicated to God's service exclusively? And the priests answered, No, holiness is not infectious. Then said Haggai, If one who is ceremonially unclean because he has come in contact with a dead body should touch any of these articles of food, shall it be ceremonially unclean? And the priests answered, It shall be unclean. Unholiness is infectious. Then answered Haggai, So is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands. And what they offer there on the altar is unclean, because they who offer it are themselves unclean. And now, I pray you, consider what will happen from this day onward. Since the time before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord, how have you fared? Through all that time, the harvests have not fulfilled expectations, for when one is gone expecting to find a heap of sheaves of 20 measures, there were but 10. When he has gone to the wine vat to draw out 50 bucketfuls from the press, there were only 20. I smote you with blight and with mildew and with hail and all the products of the labors of your hands, yet you returned not, nor were converted to me, says the Lord. Consider, I pray you, from this day onward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was relaid, consider this. Is the harvested grain any longer in the barn? As to the grapevine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree, they have not yet borne. From this day on, I will bless you. And again the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, speak to Zerubbabel, the representative of the Davidic monarchy and covenant and in direct line of the ancestry of Jesus Christ, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will, in the distant future, overthrow the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the ungodly nations. And I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall go down, every one by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, will I take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you, through the Messiah, your descendant, my signet ring, for I have chosen you as the one with whom to renew my covenant to David's line, says the Lord of hosts. This is the end of the book of Haggai and the end of today's scripture reading. As we open the book of Haggai, we find that the word of the Lord that was given to the people in Jerusalem by the prophet Haggai started out with a very stern word. It was a question, actually, and it said this in verse 4 of Haggai chapter 1. It says, and this is a question from the Lord to the people through Haggai. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? This is a question that is striking at the heart of the spiritual lethargy that had occurred in the people in Jerusalem. They had returned from Babylon with a divine assignment, rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. When they arrived, they began that work as they were directed by God himself and by Cyrus the king. And yet, discouragement, opposition arose, and the work ground to a halt. And in fact, it had been nearly 16 years since the foundation had been laid, but nothing else had been done when Haggai the prophet stepped forward with this word. And during that 16-year period of no work on the temple, the very thing they had been sent to Jerusalem to accomplish, what had happened? Well, several things. One being that the people started focusing on building their own houses. Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses while this house of the Lord lies in ruins? So he pointed out that they had become very interested in making themselves comfortable. But he also pointed out that having a focus on yourself and on your own comfort instead of on the will of God and doing the work of God has a very negative result, which he points out in the very next verse, verse 5 of Haggai chapter 1. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. And he goes on to say, you have sown much, but you've reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you don't have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. In the Message translation, it says, take a good hard look at your life. Instead of consider your ways, take a good hard look at your life. And then the New Living Translation puts it this way, look at what's happening to you. Or the Amplified, consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. So the prophet is pointing out that their focus on themselves, on their houses, on making themselves comfortable, on making their lifestyle more desirable and raising their economic level, having that focus has resulted in a lack of blessing from the Lord. Instead of their focus being on rebuilding the temple, which would be doing the will of God, their focus became very inward upon themselves. And when you have a focus that's all about you and not about pursuing God's will, the result is always disastrous. It was described as, you have sown much, but you reap little. You earn wages, but it's like putting them in a bag with holes in it. In other words, as soon as it comes in, it goes out. There's not prosperity in that, but there's poverty in that. So the Lord tells them, get back to the work. Go up to the hill country, bring lumber, and rebuild my house. And I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified. So we find out as we continue reading in that first chapter of Haggai that once he delivered that message to the people, that the Lord used those words to arouse the spirit of Zerubbabel, who was sent over as the governor of Judah, and Joshua, who was the spiritual leader. He was the son of the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people, so that they came and they started again to labor on the house of the Lord and begin to rebuild it again. So then, shortly thereafter, in the second chapter here in Haggai, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai again, and he encouraged them further, but he also pointed out something else, that it was important not to dwell on how things were in the past. In verse 3 it says, who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory, and how do you see it now? Is not this in your sight as nothing in comparison to that? What he was referring to was, there were some men, old men, who were among these people who had returned to Jerusalem, who had originally seen the Temple of Solomon, the first temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. And that temple was a very beautiful and very ornate temple. This temple that they were building now was much smaller. It was not going to be ornate. So by comparison, it looked like nothing if you had originally seen Solomon's temple. Now Haggai was also an old man. He had seen it himself, so he knew what it was like. He wasn't talking as if he didn't know what he was talking about, but he was pointing out that there is no value in thinking about the past and mourning about the past and not doing anything because you remember how it used to be. And that issue has immobilized a lot of people. It obviously immobilized some of the people here who were looking back and going, this one's going to be like nothing. They were discouraging the other people. This one's nothing compared to Solomon's temple. Why are we even bothering? These people were dragging down the group for sure, because all they could think about was the past, how it used to be, how great it was in the old days, and what we've got now is nothing. And that will bring a serious discouragement to people who were trying to rebuild the temple. But let me just touch on that issue in our own lives. We have to be careful not to look back and end up being immobilized because we're thinking about how things used to be or what it was like in the past. God is a God of the present. He wants us to move forward. He sees into the future. God himself doesn't dwell on the past. He's always a now God. And he wants to say to you for your life, don't be tripped up by this strategy of the enemy by getting you to look backward and dwell on past things that were better, how it was all great then. A lot of times that's an exaggeration of what it was really like anyway, and things were not so great or as great as people will have a tendency to make them seem like when they're in a time where things aren't as profitable or prosperous or as good in their own minds as it used to be. Let's not get caught up in this trick of the enemy to immobilize you by thinking about the past and past glories or past successes or whatever it is. God's a now God. He wants to help you now. He wants to move you forward now. And so it was in the time of Haggai. He said he was old himself. He knew about the past. He had been there. He was there when that temple was in its glory. He was probably a young boy at the time, but he remembered it just like the old men around him. But he's saying, don't think about it and say that what we've got now is like nothing in comparison. Be strong, be courageous, do the work. That's what he says in the very next verse. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord. God wants you to be able to move ahead in your life. It's important that your focus be correct. Haggai pointed out that the people's focus was on themselves, on their lifestyle, on how comfortable their houses were, how they could raise their economic status in life. Their focus had drifted from the purpose for which they had been sent to Jerusalem, which was to do God's will and rebuild that temple, to themselves, because when they were trying to do the will of God, they got discouraged, they got opposition that had arisen against them, and it got them to stop doing the work. And for 16 long years, they started focusing on themselves, and it immobilized them from doing the will of God. But that self-centered focus, or focus on the past, ended up bringing them trouble. That's when the Lord told them, here's the result of your self-focus. My blessings lifted off of you. You're having drought, your crops aren't coming in, or they're producing very little. God wanted to bless them. And once they started to go back to doing the work of God, we find these very encouraging and powerful words. From this day on, I will bless you. And he was directly speaking about their harvest, the produce of their grapevine and fig tree and pomegranate and olive. They had not been producing well. They would get a very small harvest. But the Lord said, after he saw them begin to do the work of the Lord again, he says, from this day on, I will bless you. And that's a word of the Lord for you. God wants you to focus on the will of God for your life, what God wants you to be doing. And when you focus on him, he takes care of you. That's the principle of God. When you focus on him, he will care for you. When you focus on yourself and try to care for yourself, the results are disastrous, or you will just plain struggle. You'll earn money, but it'll be like putting it in a bag with a hole in it. It'll keep falling out. You'll try to plant and you won't reap very much. You may have food, but it won't be enough. You may have clothes, but it won't be enough. God doesn't want you to live like that, but that's the result of focusing on self. The result of focusing on God, His ways, His purposes, and doing the will of God always results in the Lord's words, "From this day on, I will bless you." God wants to speak to you today. Consider your ways. Consider your life. Consider what you're doing and how things are going for you. And if things aren't going as well as they should be going, consider your ways. Consider what you're doing. Are you doing what would please the Lord? Are you focused on doing God's will? Have you put what you know to be God's will on hold? That's what these people had done. They knew it was God's will to rebuild the temple, but opposition, trouble, discouragement came. They put it on hold. And they say, oh, it's not the time yet to rebuild the Lord's house. In other words, it's not time yet to do God's will. And that resulted in disaster. One Bible scholar put this very well. He said, one of the most obvious and consistent Old Testament teachings is that national adversity is a result of national disobedience to God. So when a nation is having national adversity or trouble, you can trace that back to national disobedience. The nation has turned away from the Lord. You can apply that on a personal level. When you're facing adversity, you need to do what Haggai told the people. Consider your ways. Take a look at your life. Take a good hard look at your life, the Message translation put it. Look at what's happening to you. Set your mind on what has come to you. Is there any place in your life where you've put off or put on hold doing the will of God, and you've focused just on yourself and what you think you need and need to do? If you've done that and you're facing adversity, then you need to realize that there may be a connection there, and that God wants to bring you to the place where He can say, from this day on, I will bless you because you have turned back to me. You've turned back to doing what you know I've told you is my will. And God wants to do that. From this day on, I will bless you. So take a long, hard look at your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, is there any area of my life where I know the will of God, what it is, what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm not doing it, or I've put it on hold, or I've said, oh, it's not for right now, it's for later. Maybe there's a connection if you're going through a difficult season. It's not always that, but it could be that issue is happening in your life, and the Lord is saying to you, consider your ways. I want to be the God that says, from this day on, I will bless you. But make sure that you are focused on God's will and God's ways, then He will be able to undertake for you. You won't have to try to undertake for yourself in your own strength. God bless you and give you a victorious week.